Good morning. Welcome. It's the Ask the Pastor program on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. Happy Friday to you. The weekend is almost upon us. Let your labors not be hard. Be joyful. Have a glad heart, for the weekend is here. I don't know. I don't know if that would qualify as a proverb or not, but it works pretty well for me. You know, speaking of proverbs and all things going on in the world these days, have you noticed Proverbs 29, verse 9? If a wise person debates with a fool, the fool either rages or laughs, and there is no peace. Well, what in the world could that possibly refer to, Pastor Boshoven?
Well, good morning. How nice it is to hear that opening music.
Yes.
Puts me in such a nice mood.
It does. I just dance around the studio. Pastor Rick Boshoven, our very good friend here from Trinity Lutheran Church in Merrillville, Indiana. How you doing?
I'm good this morning. How are you?
I'm not quite the walking dead, but I'm doing fine.
Walking dead?
Now, of course, you know I'm going to brag a little bit because you so graciously gave of your time yesterday to record a segment for Studio A that's going to air tomorrow at 2, where we're going to talk about, zombies?
That's right.
The zombie apocalypse, yeah.
Zombie apocalypse and the theology behind it. quite honestly, it was your idea, but it was a fun topic.
Sure. Blame me. Blame the mere layman in the room. Thank you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. I've even got the iPad in the studio with me today, fired up to Facebook. If you want to find me, friend me, and contact me that way, that certainly will work as well. Here are the basic ground rules. We take pretty much all comers. Whatever questions you may have, didn't get in during the last hour when we talked about Acts chapter 6. Now would be a great time. Something you've seen in the news. Not much in the news these days, is there? And here's where we're going to start out, Pastor Boshoven. I noticed, speaking of Facebook, that proverb is something that you put up this morning. I was wondering why you did that.
Well, I did it, first of all, because a good friend of mine had posted that proverb, making connection to the debate last night. And I thought, oh, what a nice, I don't know how you pronounce the word, meme or memey. But that's when you have a picture that you post on your Facebook that has a saying embedded in it. So I found a picture of Joe Biden laughing, and then I added the proverb to it, which says, literally from the NIV translation, if a wise person goes to court, or if a wise person contends with someone, I chose the word, if a wise person debates with a fool, the fool rages and scoffs. The fool laughs and scandalizes, but there is no peace, you know. And that was sort of my impression from the debate last night. Watching, it was the rudeness and the scoffing and the laughing that just, you know, connected with me on that level.
Yeah, but we love that stuff. I mean, be honest. We as a culture,
no,
we love that stuff.
Maybe we love to hate it. It's an embarrassment. I'll tell you this much, though. As I was watching, him kind of smirk and snide, this is how deep I am into the whole thing. I don't even remember the Republican's name.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan, that's it. I still watched the whole debate. I truly did. But watching him as Paul Ryan would make his point, you know, to just see him throw his arms up and laugh and smirk and giggle and sometimes quite inappropriately, especially when we were talking about our soldiers being killed in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places, I realized, oh my goodness, the little shoulder angel sitting on my shoulder is going, you do that. You do that too. You're just like Joe.
You're
part of your character is when you're contending with somebody is to let your emotions show that, you know, you don't have a poker face. So that was kind of convicting on me as I did it. So, you know, when you point your finger at somebody, you always got three more pointing back at you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had Facebook running while I was watching it, and I put a couple of things up there myself, and one of the other angels chimed in on one of my little posts and reminded me about the Eighth Commandment.
Yeah,
which I'm grateful for because I needed reminding at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a theological question that came up. Now, sometimes these things creep in indirectly, but Martha Raddatz, who was the moderator, actually brought theology directly into the debate because she noted that both of these men are practicing Roman Catholics. And she asked an interesting question, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the first part. It was the first part of the question went to Congressman Ryan, and he answered it. And then, you know, I'll let you comment on that, and then I'll play Vice President Biden's response to it as well. You ready for this?
Sure.
Here we go.
And I would like to ask you both to tell me what role your religion has played in your own personal views on abortion. Please talk about how you came to that decision. Talk about how your religion played a part in that. And please, this is such an emotional issue for so many people in this country. Please talk personally about this, if you could. Congressman Ryan.
I don't see how a person can separate their public life from their private life or from their faith. Our faith informs us in everything we do. My faith informs me about how to take care of the vulnerable, about how to make sure that people have a chance in life. Now, you want to ask basically why I'm pro-life? It's not simply because of my Catholic faith. That's a factor, of course. But it's also because of reason and science. You know, I think about 10.5 years ago, my wife Jana and I went to Mercy Hospital in Janesville, where I was born, for our 7-week ultrasound for our firstborn child. And we saw that heartbeat. Our little baby was in the shape of a bean. And to this day, we have nicknamed our firstborn child, Liza, Bean. Now, I believe that life begins at conception. That's why, those are the reasons why I'm pro-life. Now, I understand this is a difficult issue, and I respect people who don't agree with me on this. But the policy of a Romney administration will be to oppose abortion with the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. What troubles me more is how this administration has handled all of these issues. Look at what they're doing through Obamacare with respect to assaulting the religious liberties of this country. They're infringing upon our first freedom, the freedom of religion, by infringing on Catholic charities, Catholic churches, Catholic hospitals. Our church should not have to sue our federal government to maintain their religious liberties. And with respect to abortion, the Democratic Party used to say they wanted to be safe, legal, and rare. Now, they support it without restriction and with taxpayer funding. Taxpayer funding in Obamacare, taxpayer funding with foreign aid. The vice president himself went to China and said that he sympathized or wouldn't second guess their one-child policy of forced abortions and sterilizations. That, to me, is pretty extreme.
And that's where his answer concluded.
Right.
What jumps out at you?
Well, what jumped out at me, first of all, was I liked the personal story that he told, you know, seeing that heartbeat at 7 weeks. That's important. I was disappointed that, you know, it was shaped like a bean, because that reminds, and I can understand that in terms of that you know, because I saw ultrasound of my son the same way, and you know, they do kind of have that curled up into a, you know, legume kind of shape to them. But there's a face there, there are hands there, there are fingers, there are toes. It's a person, and just describing it as a being didn't seem to me to make a very strong point. Although I did appreciate, you know, we nicknamed my son Bean too, but because from the Tale of the Bunny Picnic, the lead character's name was Bean. He was cute, and so was Ben, and so here we go, Bean. But I thought that was a relatable point. But I thought by just leaving it shaped like a bean, that was like, well, okay, it's not a person then. I would have liked a little bit, you know, more of a, you know, the personhood being brought into the discussion. What it reminded me of was my own conversion to an understanding of life begins at conception. Right out of college, in my first job, I was pretty. It used to annoy me. I was watching, you know, the television show in my boss's office one time as I stuck my nose in, and you had your anti-abortion forces and your pro-life forces, and having a conversation, I said something about, you know, why does it always have to be labeled pro and con that way? You know, who's in control of the language? And my bosses, so I, you know, I was pro-death then, you know, it's like, no, I said, I just think that there should be a choice. Well, he took me out to lunch. In the course, he says, well, when is it okay to have an abortion, you know? And I said, well, you know, in the first trimester, I said, that would be okay. And he says, where in the first trimester? You know, I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I never really thought about it. My argument stopped with that. And he says, well, I mean, is it at week four? Or is it, you know, or at week two? Is it, well, in the first 3 weeks, then, I think is what I said. Well, okay, well, we're getting near the end of those first 3 weeks. Is it, a little bit, he inched me down to a point where I realized that if I was going to err on the side of safety, the child is a child or it isn't a child, that you couldn't draw that line clearly. And ultimately, he walked me all the way back to the point of conception. And once I arrived there, I've never moved from that point. I thought that was so I was reminded of my own walk in that. I appreciated that he said that his faith informs his entire life. And then he talked about the defense of the weak. I was like right on with that point. You know, very good. What's weaker, what's more defenseless, right?
Hmm.
So I thought he scored pretty well with reasoning it that way. I was very sympathetic for him when he said we oppose abortion except in the case of rape and incest and life of the mother, because I know he's supporting Romney's position on that, not his own.
Yeah.
So that's a point of conscience that he's got to wrestle with. And I think if you remember the television show it used to be on, Lie to Me? And I was kind of doing a Lie to Me thing as I was watching him going, he doesn't believe what he's saying.
Well, but now we're confronted with, you know, this. We just had this text from Acts just the other day about, you know, when you're given a choice between God and man, we choose God.
Right.
Did Paul Ryan choose man?
Well, yeah, I think he chose the politics. But I think he chose the politics. You know, if let's put the best construction on it, Eighth Commandment kind of thing. I think the best construction is that he can do more good being in the system than being out of the system, and so even though it's a compromise with his values, because not that he wouldn't be sympathetic to a woman who had been raped and there was a child as a consequence of that rape, you know, he would still want to value that life as a person, and so would I.
Well, but see, now that value that life as a person. See, this is what gets under my skin about this, and let's set aside life of the mother for a moment, because that has become an abused excuse.
Right.
I think there's enough documentation of Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics.
Well, there's enough documentation amongst Christians that would allow it the life of the mother, you know.
Yeah, but this idea of rape, if you really believe life begins at conception and life is precious and you have to protect the weak, then what's the justification for rape and incest to take that life?
Yeah, I think it's misplaced compassion. It's compassion for the mother, you know, not making her have to endure the consequences of that rape, you know. But
can a second wrong ever make the first wrong right?
No, it can't. It can't. Right. I understand that. And that's why I know that as Paul Ryan is making this exception to agree with, he was very good about it. The Romney position is, And that is Romney's position. It isn't his. But he's in a between a rock and a hard place in supporting it. If he doesn't support it, he's not in the system. If he's not in the system, there's nothing he can do about it.
No,
so I think it's a matter of conscience for him.
Yeah, I did not take the time to look this up this morning. I should have, but things were very busy this morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't look for the official Roman position on abortion if they also make an exception for rape, incest, and life of the mother.
Well, I would assume maybe it's probably for the life of the mother, but yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, because
maybe if a listener knows, they could call in and tell us. Hey, let's for a moment
You have to go to the flip side of this, don't we?
Well, we're going to, but because James has been on hold here for about 10 minutes.
Oh. Sorry, James.
No, well, don't. That's okay. We're going to get to James here real quick. We're going to take a little bit of a turn for a moment. Look at Proverbs 22. James would like a little bit of help understanding what Proverbs 22 is all about. James, thanks for waiting.
And let me clarify that. It's Proverbs 26 and 25 and Proverbs 26 and 12. Because when I was trying to have some discernment with compassion about the issue of abortion that was being debated last night, I kind of saw my antennas kind of raised to Proverbs 26 and 25, where it states that when he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. And that's the hypocrisy of Congressman Ryan, where he supports things like legitimate rape and other abominations that are kind of hidden in his speaking kindly. And in the other one, it's Proverbs 26 and 12. It says, you know, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And the kind of conceit that you saw in his supercilious look as he was espousing things that you can just know wasn't true. So, you know, when they're trying to have some sort of compassion with discernment about these issues of abortion that was being debated last night and other things, how does, do you, Pastor, relate those two Proverbs of 26 and 12 and 26 and 25 to the debate?
Oh, okay. I got to get down to 25. I see what you're saying now. 26 verse 25. Speech is charming. Don't believe them, for their seven abominations fill their heart. Yeah. Certainly, this is dealing with rhetoric, and it's a humbling statement to be given to all who think they are wise. And my goodness, amongst pastors, that would include all of us. So. It's good to be reminded again, not to be too proud or think of ourselves as too wise. Certainly not to our own intellect, but to the intellect that's given to us through the Word of God. That God's wisdom defeats human wisdom, you know, hands down. So as I look at these, I see them as applying both to Paul Ryan and to Joe Biden, as okay. well as to myself and to the moderator as well.
Okay.
I certainly did see sometimes, even in the question that she gave to, regarding their religion and abortion and some of the other things, was sort of a snide, I think I've got you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that's able, and notice, and that's what the Pharisees try to do to Jesus as well, is using their own wisdom, think that they can pin him in a gotcha question. And all you have to do is lose the gotcha question, and you lose the debate. When it's not really about what the question, it's not really about abortion or the Catholicism, it's about getting you to be wrong. And if you're wrong, then I can dismiss anything you say.
Or saying something that may be absolutely truthful, but then you get
right.
painted as the extremist.
Well, it's true. But look at, Paul Ryan, I think has admitted his mistake in that whole, legitimate rape comment that he had.
That was Congressman Todd Akin here in St. Louis that made that legitimate rape comment.
Yeah, but he supported in some of the.
Oh, did he? Okay, I did not see that. Thank you for the correction.
And that's where I get the hypocrisy and the deceit from, and to deliver it with such a supercilious look. And I really appreciate your perspective on that, Pastor, because it's really a hard thing for us Christians to kind of have some sort of discernment about this debate that's going on in our country about abortion and other things. And I'll hang up and listen because I'm looking forward to what Biden said. It really struck me what he said, and I know Paul will be doing that. Brother Rowland.
Oh, what's his name there on the radio? Thanks, James. That's all right. Just listen. That's all I really care about. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's grab one more call, Pastor Boshoven, because it's on the same subject. Larry's been waiting patiently as well. And then when we get back from the break, we'll go to Joe Biden's remarks. Larry, thanks for the call. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, your pastor.
Good morning.
You know, we as Americans have been conditioned to believe that a baby that's conceived in rape or incest, or not even conceived, but conceived, that we've been conditioned, that we keep hearing this. But you know what, Pastor, it's not any less of a baby, is it? A baby's a baby's a baby.
Yeah, and defenseless as defenseless can be, and do you compound the problem of the first crime by committing a second one? So
right,
and you have to keep this in mind. This is why I do appreciate Martha's comment. And you remember is that the people listening have gone through some of these things. So for those who are struggling with a topic like this and the subsequent guilt associated with it is to get thee to some place where you can hear God's absolution for your life.
You know, and you associated a verse with what you saw and what you heard last night. I've also associated a verse with what I saw and heard last night. And I ran into this verse some years ago, and it's in Job. And I have two Bibles sitting on my lap here, but I like the rendering of the New King James versus the King James in this instance, where it says in Job 11, verse 12, "For an empty-headed man will be wise when a wild donkey's colt is born a man." is that not a fantastic verse? An empty-headed man will be wise when a wild donkey's colt is born a man. An empty-headed man will never be wise. That's pretty much what I saw. I saw a lot of empty-headedness. And, you know, if I was a Roman Catholic, which thank God I'm not, I would, if I even just the most small Roman Catholic, you know, because they have such a system, that I would cringe when I heard Joe Biden's words that he cannot espouse his faith on others. He would not want to tell others, even though it's the church's teaching, that baptism is murder, and the baptism, that abortion is murder.
Yeah. But even the speaking to his faith, it becomes then a personal and private faith just to Joe Biden. And then in this confession that he makes, which we'll hear after the break.
In other words,
Roland Joe Biden should be listening to the Bible study, how the church grew and how we're supposed to share our faith.
I wish they were all listening to the Bible study, quite honestly.
There you go. All right, thanks. You guys have a good Friday.
Thank you, Larry. You know, I think a good Lutheran Bible study in the lives of a lot of these guys would do them a great deal of good. But, you know, Joe Biden, when you look at how Joe Biden responds, I mean, much like Paul Ryan is serving as the good representative for Mitt Romney in his campaign, well, Joe Biden's point of view is exactly how the administration has approached the Health and Human Services mandate. Keep your faith to yourself.
Right.
We have more things to do here. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our very dear friend, Pastor Rick Boshoven from Trinity Memorial Lutheran Church in Maryville, Indiana, our guest. More of the debate to come, more of other stuff. Join us. It is a great time to call in. We will be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to Ask the Pastor. It's the messenger of good news worldwide, KFUO. Our guest this morning is Pastor Rick Boshoven. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. We were taking a review of one of the questions that was asked at the debate last night, the vice presidential debate, where Martha Raddatz asked about Roman Catholic faith, which both of these men are members of the Roman Catholic Church, and how their faith applied to the issue of abortion. Are you ready to hear Joe Biden's response, Pastor?
Yes, let's do.
All right. Here's Joe Biden's response to that same question.
Vice President Biden.
My religion defines who I am. And I've been a practicing Catholic my whole life. It has particularly informed my social doctrine. Catholic social doctrine talks about taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, people who need help. With regard to abortion, I accept my church's position on abortion as what we call de fide doctrine. Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life. But I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews. I just refuse to impose that on others, unlike my friend here, the congressman. I do not believe that that we have a right to tell other people that women, they can't control their body. It's a decision between them and their doctor, in my view. In the Supreme Court, I'm not going to interfere with that. With regard to the assault on the Catholic Church, let me make it absolutely clear. No religious institution, Catholic or otherwise, including Catholic Social Services, Georgetown Hospital, Mercy Hospital, any hospital, none has to either refer for contraception, none has to pay for contraception, none has to be a vehicle to get contraception in any insurance policy they provide. That is a fact. That is a fact. Now, with regard to the way in which we differ, my friend says I guess he accepts Governor Romney's position now, because in the past he has argued that there's rape, enforceable rape. He's argued that in the case of rape or incest, it would be a crime to engage in having an abortion. I just fundamentally disagree with my friend.
Well, what jumps out at you about that?
Well, a couple of things jump out at me in that. I think the first one is that Joe Biden apparently, I guess my assessment is that Joe Biden apparently compartmentalizes his faith and sees that as a virtue.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's my faith, it's just for me, but I will in no way for my private life, yes, but in my public life, no. And how much of that do we already have in terms of compartmentalization of our faith, where I'm a Christian at church, but at home I don't have to be? You know, we wouldn't agree with that statement. You know, and that's not the way that Paul Ryan came across in that. Not to say that I think Paul Ryan came across perfectly in his confession, you know, but I'm not here to, okay, I judge his confession anyway, but we're judging it in the context of you know, a political discussion here, so there's no way out of it. I'm in trouble for judging his confession, and I'm going to do it anyway, because we're
we're called to be discerning, and this is theology. This is what these men are expressing about their beliefs about God and their church and their faith.
Well, since it's been brought to a public forum,
and it's a public declaration, so it's fair game for that.
Discuss the public forum. Thank you for helping me out at Quagmire. So compartmentalizing of the faith then is not just justification for how the difference can be, but compartmentalizing the faith because it's a virtue. My opponent won't do that. He'll let his faith inform even his political life. I won't do that. So it's virtuous. That was what jumped out at me. Yeah. In that. The next part of what jumps out at me in that is when he began to talk about the threat to our First Amendment freedoms. You know, when he said that no one is going to make you know, Catholic charities or Catholic hospitals or whatever pay for something that they don't want to pay for.
Well, talk about the tyranny of language. Wow.
My goodness, did he split hairs beautifully. And then on top of that, made it a fait accompli that this is, you know, that was their position all along. I do appreciate, you know, Paul Ryan coming back with the, then why did the Catholic Church have to sue our government?
That's right.
And I mean, and the reason we had to sue it is because what you are saying now is not the case then. And it was your president who, and his administration that put that there. And, you know, now you're trying to make it sound like, oh, no, it was never there. You know, it isn't there. It never was the case.
Well, what strikes me...
And that's disingenuous, and that yeah. bothers me. But it's entirely possible for someone who can do it. If you can compartmentalize your faith, then I guess you can compartmentalize your politics, too.
Well, and apparently
so. And be able
so.
To say disingenuous things.
Well,
that was the one frustration I had with listening to the debate last night. Is, and I don't know if it's a tactic that our vice president uses consistently or if it was just accidental because he's talking off the cuff, but frequently he would say both yes and no to the same question, you know, where he would start out and say, well, yes, that's how I feel, and then change it to you know. I kept thinking, let my yes be yes and my no be no. You know, for someone who says what he means, you don't say what you mean.
Yeah. Well, look at the conflict here. He says that my faith defines who I am, but then he says that's situational. So it doesn't define who I am all the time. It defines right. it defines me in moments that it's appropriate for it to define me. He said he supports the social doctrine of the Catholic Church. About you have to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. And
right.
then he says, but who am I to say you can't kill a child in the womb?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting distinction that he makes is that, that I defend those who can't defend themselves. For Joe Biden, that means the mother. That doesn't mean the child.
Right.
And I can compartmentalize that then, you know, because my private life, my private confession, because my church says, and I agree with them, that life begins at conception. But my public life, my defense of the weak will stop with the mother. You know, and who are we to pass laws that tell a woman what she can and can't do with her body?
Well, golly, you know, let me stop you on that point. This is another one of my hobby horses. Have you heard about prostitution, Joe?
Right. Yeah,
have you heard about illegal drugs, Joe?
Right.
You know, I mean, no disrespect to the vice president, but real, I mean, this is abject ignorance. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
we
can't tell a woman what to do with her body. We tell a woman what to do with her body all the time. She can't get in a car and drive 120 miles an hour with her body.
Right.
You know, we have all, yeah. Excuse me, I'm going to turn the mic off and scream for a moment.
But in terms of the use of her body, especially in terms of her sexuality, I think that's what we're talking about here. But we do have laws that tell us that tell, you know, men and women what they can and cannot do with their bodies. And prostitution would be probably, you know, the most obvious of those.
Yeah.
That's that you cannot do that. You know, you cannot marry your brother. You cannot marry. You know,
give it time. Give it time.
Well, that's of course.
Give it time.
As we redefine marriage, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you know this, see, and this is the thing. You had better learn and learn fast. And I've tried to teach this to my children that if you are honest to Scripture and you are honest to Christ, this world is not going to let you get anywhere. And apparently, if you want to be vice president or president, you're going to have to just say certain things and do certain things. And I don't disagree with you that it's better to have someone in the system working it. But I think you still have to be intellectually honest and theologically honest in what you say to people.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that Paul Ryan's confession is perfect. But I don't know that I'm going to judge his motives here. I mean, there are, yeah. I'm not going to judge his heart in this. I can't do that. I can only judge the confession.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so
and I agree with what you said earlier. I think it was a good catch on your part that he is probably at great pains because you know he does have a subservient role. He is, you know, in a secondary role to the primary party on the ticket, and that's
right.
Mitt Romney, and he is there as an advocate for that. But then maybe if you're going to be called into that position in the vice presidential debate, and maybe if you're going to have to somehow compromise or soften your theology, maybe you don't accept the request in the first place.
Well, and see, that's where Joe Biden did stick it to him.
Yep.
You know, he got the knife in between the third and second ribs, in the sense that, you know, your confession now is in line with Romney's politics.
Yep.
And that's a truism, and there's no wiggling out of that one. That the knife struck home with that comment.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Boy, this is just such a wonderful Friday. Not only do I have my friend Pastor Rick Boshoven on, we also get to welcome to the program Pastor Nabil Noor. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Glorious morning to you, saints in Christ. How are you?
Well, very well.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, I listened to the debate last night as well. I was specifically intrigued with the discussion that they had about the abortion. And Roland, you know me well, and some of the listeners have heard me talk about the Bike for Life that we do every year.
Oh, yeah.
But for that, here is the one thing that I did not hear from either of the candidates. Biden, of course, wishy-washy all over, and you kind of been talking about it. But here's the one thing that I want to highlight more than anything else. I heard that Biden said, you know, I concur with my Catholic position or the church's teaching. Okay? What I did not hear, and I was hoping that I would hear, it is based on the premise of God's holy word, which is the absolute truth. Now, Paul Ryan kind of came close to that, but he really never specifically identified that. He does say, I believe from the moment of conception, it is a baby. Okay, and he talked about, of course, his first child, which is wonderful. But, you know, this is, I think, where we get mangled up in this web. We are distracted from the truth. The truth sets us free, and I believe you spoke about this a little bit earlier, Brother Roland. The truth is that what sets us free, and it is Christ's word that tells us, life is precious. You read Psalm 139. It is His word that tells me this child is created in His image. He formed it and weaved it and knit it together in the mother's womb by His own working gift of love and grace. And any time you try to say, well, this is the position we are holding, you negate the position of what God is holding.
Ah, that is interesting way to put it, that I agree with that position as if it's a choice among other choices.
It is correct. That's precisely what I wanted to convey. This is not a smorgasbord of a choice. You know, they can pick and choose. This is what we want to do. No, what does the Word of God say? It isn't just the church's doctrine. It's Christ's doctrine. He instituted this.
Yes, yes, appealing to an ultimate truth. This isn't true just because I think it's true, or it isn't true just because my church says it's true. It's true because it is true because God says it's true.
Amen to that.
Exactly.
Amen to that.
And that's why I'm saying, again, not wanting to judge Paul Ryan, but if you're committed to your faith, I don't think you can compromise to the point where you then have to soften your doctrine on this.
That is very correct. You know, somebody asked me, Pastor, what's the best way to vote to these people? And here is my answer, and I hope you permit me to share it. I say, my measuring stick is one, only one. It is this. If my candidate will protect the baby in the womb, he or she will get my vote, okay? If that candidate does not protect the baby in the womb, I don't care who he is or what he is, whether he is a Lutheran, whether he's a Catholic or Jew or a Mormon or Muslim, he will not get my vote. Here is the reason. If you cannot protect a baby in the womb, you will not protect anyone else. If you cannot protect the helpless and the defenseless people, you will not. And I don't care how many times you're going to lie to me, we're going to do this, I'm going to tell you you're a liar, because if you can't protect that baby, you're not going to protect anyone else. If you destroy the life of that baby, you will destroy any other life.
Now tell me, Pastor, when you're stuck between a bad candidate and a worser candidate, then what do you do?
Well, there is no perfect candidate. Okay? And if
right.
you're going to wait for the candidate who is holy and righteous, you'll need to get to heaven, and there's no election. Okay? Now,
exactly.
You choose the best of the two. And I don't want to use you choose the best of the two evil, because we are all evil. We have sin, and in the sight of God, we are all evil. Having stated what I have said, I would rather vote, even though I may not like my candidate, but I will vote for him on the premise he's going to do the best for this country and the greatest advancement for all concerned. Not only the social event, but again, I need to know, number one, how are they on the issue of life?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that answers. I'm not trying to spin
nope.
here.
I think you did good.
Because you can't just say, well, both are evil. Well, hey, how about me? Okay?
Right.
I'm just the scum of the earth. I'm a worm, it tells me in the scriptures. Who am I, David says. Right? But having said all of this, I look at the candidates to the best of my ability, and I will not say that I'm not going to vote for Romney because he is a Mormon. No, that's wrong. I'm going to vote to the one who is going to enhance this nation, protect us, keep us safe. But above all, I go back to my first premise. It had to do with the gift of life in the womb. And with that, I will bid you well, and I pray you bask in the grace of God.
Peace, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, any thoughts, Pastor Boshoff?
Oh, so nice to have that. Thank you.
Yes. Well, no, but the other thing is this, that let's say perhaps they're both wrong on the life issue. We still are in a vocation.
I thought about that last night. Honest to goodness, I thought about that last night. What if Romney simply capitulated and said that we will take the same stance on abortion that the Democrats do, the same plank in the Republican, I mean, the plank for plank, it would be the same. Then there's no choice between those two, and everybody has to choose on a different issue.
Well, I don't know. I think that may boil down to a simple choice, and maybe I'm just simple-minded, and I wouldn't be the first time I was accused of being that. But, you know, when Paul says honor the emperor, you know, even though the emperor is a pagan, and is a pagan who is resistant to the message of Christ,
mm-hmm.
by honoring the emperor, you still provide roads, you still provide police, you still provide an environment in which the gospel can go out. So then you have to pick the candidate who would best provide the environment in which the gospel could be transmitted in a peaceable country. What do you think
right.
about that?
Yeah, I think that because in a sense, then you have two choices. Your choice is to not to vote for the one that you think will do the best, or not to play. And
I don't know if we can not play. We have a vocation as citizen. We are called to play.
Yeah, I do think we are called to play. But I think in matters of conscience, I think that is well, I don't know. If the choice is not to play, then I capitulate to the worst case scenario. I do.
Let's bring Bill into this. Bill, good morning. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, good morning to both of you. I'll try to make this brief. It's just like science or anything. You know, if you're in the lab and you mix a couple chemicals together, almost every time, if you mix the same chemicals together, you're going to get the same results. Well, if you mix sperm from a male into a woman who has eggs, there's only one thing it's going to produce, and that's a human being. It's not going to produce a washing machine or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I mean, even scientific, common sense scientific proof is that a baby is produced And it's not just a cancer or whatever in that person, that woman's womb. And I just wanted to make that statement. And another thing is, with Joe Biden's attitude, I guess a person like, a person wanted to drive down the street in a 20-mile-an-hour zone, 125 miles an hour, I don't care who does that, they're going to get the same results as the other guy. I mean, each guy, if two people drive down at 125 miles an hour, they're both going to get the same results of what happens. So I just don't understand, you know, some of the things that they try to reason about, you know, the reasoning. It's not logical.
There's no logical consistency
right.
to it.
I'll hang up and see what you have to say about that. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great weekend. Pastor?
Well, yeah, that there's no logical consistency there. It's true. The problem is, of course, is that people aren't logically consistent. And so while sperm and egg will come together to form, in this case, a human being, and will always form a human being, won't form a toaster or anything else like that. I understand that. But there are those who will be inconsistent and want to define at what point it actually becomes a human being.
And there you go.
It's tissue up to a point, and then it becomes a human being, and I get to decide. And what the criteria for that often is whether I want it or not. A woman who becomes pregnant, who's been trying to become pregnant, who wants desperately to have a child, if someone interfered with that and the child was lost, she would lament over the loss of her child, not the product of conception. Unless, of course, it was somebody else who, at that, you know, that same point in time, because we had that happen where a woman was in a bank robbery, a bank that was being robbed, and a gun was fired, and it killed the baby in her womb. Now, she wanted to go to court, and for murder, her child was murdered. That presents an interesting problem, doesn't it? Because it's only a child if you want it. If I want it, it was murder. If I didn't want it, well, then it's just, I can go to court because I was shot and injured, not because, my baby was taken.
Yeah, and the whole thing so coarsens culture, because look at how we address most of our problems now. It's with the answer, kill it.
Yeah, well, yeah, kill it. Absolutely.
Maybe not literally in some cases, but it's, kill it.
We talk about that a little bit Saturday's program with
the zombie apocalypse. Exactly.
But the answer to the zombie apocalypse is, what do you do with this? How do you solve this problem? You kill it.
Yeah.
And playing into the idea of that's one of the popular, one of the reasons that perhaps the zombie the storylines are so popular in our culture right now, because the solution is simple.
And it's expedient.
Kill it. You just kill it, and it's easy. Yep.
Yeah, it's expedient.
And if it's not human, if it's not alive, if it doesn't have a soul, then you kill it without guilt.
Yeah.
So.
And then and you kill it in ways that are so gruesome and disgusting that if it were done to a real, quote-unquote, person, you'd never stand for it.
Right. Well, to the point at which if the child is born alive, then you have to save it. And that's it's interesting. Inside, it's fair game. Outside, it's not. I kind of resented the question when Martha brought it up, because it reduces sometimes our whole Christian conversation down to two topics.
Yeah.
Abortion and homosexuality. If you're going to talk religion in the United States, those are the only two things that it seems that you're allowed to talk about. And that people are sick to death of hearing being discussed in the culture. And so consequently, I think it's one of the things. It's sort of like I went into Menards the other day, and I went through it's not even Halloween. The Halloween decorations are being put away, and the Christmas tree village is up, and already they are playing Christmas music. Now, I am so sick and tired of hearing the same 200 Christmas songs. I can't begin to voice my disgust with Christmas and Christmas songs. Because they have been played ad nauseum. I should love Christmas. It's part of the beauty of the season. But what we have done to Christmas in our culture has made it, at least in terms of the music that goes along with it, an anathema to me. Honestly, I'm sick to death of Christmas music.
Pastor Rick Boschhoven, thanks for your time. We got to run, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Sorry, I can't make the point, but oh well.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.